All right, guys. Hey, welcome to Nintendo Dads episode. I don't know, what is it? 100 and nope, that's not right. Episode 12. Episode 12 of After Dark, guys. We are going to talk about Castlevania, the Netflix show that just released a couple of days ago. So, with that, we're going to cue some music right in here. That's creepy Castlevania music. Castlevania on Netflix, it's so crazy.
You know, right, I may not actually even mix any music in. All right, what's going on, everybody? This is Nintendo Dad's After Dark. My phone is dead, which is usually my soundboard, which means we're talking about Castlevania. And what's going on, everybody? This is Zach Erickson. Of course, we're recording this on July 12th, 2017. Joining me is Justin Masson and Jesse Waldack, and we're After Dark is, of course, the thing where we just chat about stuff. So what's going on, gents? How you doing?
Good transition, Zach. I appreciate it. Yeah,
it's After Dark, man. People aren't expecting
After Dark. It's casual. Yeah, you know, I just want to chat about the Castlevania stuff. So I finished the series. I guess let's start with that, right? So there are four episodes in this thing. They're 25 minutes each. I was expecting more of a series. I was expecting a lot more episodes than four. What about you guys?
Yeah, normally in the Netflix originals, they have 10 to 12 episodes that are an hour long.
Yeah.
So here we got like an hour and 20 minutes of content total.
Yeah, and we'll take a quick moment here of just saying now Netflix has confirmed that a season two is approved and greenlit, and which is apparently going to be coming out in 2018.
Yeah,
and
I heard the script was almost done.
Yeah, and it says it here, it was renewed for an expanded eight episodes on season two, and again that was the same day as well, same writer it seems like as well, but. I really felt like this was I think calling this a season was a bit of a miss, right? It feels like a weird teaser.
I'd almost call it a season zero prologue to a larger saga.
Yeah, but we're really
probably don't have the capability of calling anything a season zero.
Yeah, because that'll only be more confusing for them altogether, right? Yeah. how does this work?
Yeah, in a similar thing, I'm a big Yu-Gi-Oh fan. So there was a season of Yu-Gi-Oh in Japan that aired that never came to North America. So the North American fans considers that season zero because it is a prologue into our season one. And I tried importing those episodes into iTunes. iTunes says, I can't do this as zero. So. Mm-hmm. So the season zero is just apparently can't exist.
So I'm just going to come out and say this now. I haven't had a chance to watch this yet. So other than like the first 5 minutes, the one thing I will say is that it's got really the very early vibes that I had from it reminded me of, and I don't watch a whole lot of anime sort of stuff, but it reminded me of, I don't know if anybody here saw the Animatrix. When the Matrix movies came out and they had those, they had the anime stuff that they released with that. I was getting vibes of that with this, in a good way. Like I actually really, really enjoyed those when those came out. That was sort of my, again, very early impressions with this. And I don't even know if I really have a whole lot more to say about them other than that, but, sure. Yeah. What are your guys' thoughts on it?
Yeah, I mean, I you know, first and foremost, like, and one of the reasons that we're doing this as an After Dark is that the content is definitely not kid-friendly, right? From a parenting perspective, at no point should you be like, hey, kids, let's all cut off the TV and watch the Castlevania cartoon. I hear it's going to be grand.
Exactly. You have mature children, or at least.
Yeah, you have much more mature children, right? So that's the first thing. This is not a Saturday morning cartoon. This is definitely.
My youngest is 15.
Yeah, this is definitely a mature R-rated cartoon in that way. And to Zach's point, it's an anime art style, which appears to enjoy the color shades of red and black, is very high in their palette usage. I definitely think They have an interesting story to tell, and I think they set the tone very quickly, to your point, Zach, very quickly, even you know. And again, let me before I move any further than this, spoiler alert, if you have not watched this and you don't want to be ruined by a lot of things, like we're going to talk in general as much as we can, but to Zach's point, within the first matter of moments, I mean, they're burning this woman alive at the stake.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, they're, you know, it's kind of, it's gruesome from a far point and kind of just saddening. And then, I mean, very quickly when the monster's being attacked, I mean, we're talking about like entrails being scattered across the floor and then even like children being killed and you can see the dead children. Right. So definitely not family friendly in any sort of ways.
Nor should it be though. Right. Like, no, let's be clear. That's an important thing. Like it is the content here that is what, like, that is true to the content, I guess I should say.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. You're absolutely right. Like it's true on form to what it should be, yeah. But just be forewarned, right? If you're expecting something different, it is not that for sure.
Yeah.
I found it interesting. I found the fact that the episodes were short, it was very easy to consume. I actually found that because of the way the episodes were only 25 minutes, I actually found the pacing a bit odd.
How so?
Right. It felt, well, like, cause I wasn't watching it back to back straight through.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of, it felt, you know, I'd watch an episode here and then an episode there. And so it felt like it was just the pacing just felt a little bit not as fluid as I would have liked it to be possibly.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt that was a bit odd, but I think from being an episodic, series, it did all right. I really felt it was kind of a slow slog through the first episode, a little bit of the second. Episodes 3 and 4 was really where you began to pick up your pace. And I would argue that the last 10 minutes of episode 4, where we meet our kind of third primary protagonist character, is really where things get to be good. And then that kind of like leaves us with this like, well, now the team is together and off to our journey, and that's it. And you're like, and to Jesse's point, like we've just built, you know, 2 hours of this thing that now we've got our prologue.
Yeah.
Right. Or prequel. Now let's move forward. So it feels a bit empty at the end of it because you're not really getting a lot more. You're not getting your next component. So, Jesse, what were your thoughts?
I enjoyed it. You know, I knew going into it, it was going to be gruesome. And so I wasn't shocked or surprised. And, you know, I think it did add to the overall, what's the word I'm thinking of? The scene where the story's taking place.
Yeah.
Like world building. Is that what you're saying?
Like, yeah, they had some good world building. It shows that how gruesome and awful this, you know, 15th century area is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the biggest shock, and you know, I don't know how historically accurate this is, you know, obviously it's fiction, but, you know, with how big of a story the church is, especially in episode 3, with, you know, how they kind of end up, you know, you see it in episode 1, but it really shines in 3, how much of the, of a villain they end up being.
Yeah,
in this arc of the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is this kind of very interesting, you know, who is truly the villain in this story, right? And then you've got a fallen hero, our Belmont, right? Our Trevor Belmont, who doesn't want to be a hero and isn't, you know, obviously the reluctant hero and has some baggage associated with his family name and his family crest. And then you have the background of, you know, well, did the church really kind of be the ones that brought this on? Are they the ones that stemmed it? Are they the villains really in the end? And Dracula, you know, is vengeful for what has occurred, but you know, is he right for what has occurred? Right. There's this weird morality of like, so what's right and what's wrong in the end of it. And I think in the end, you're, you know, even as we leave that fourth episode, I'm not really sure who we're going after. I'm not really sure if we are going after Dracula or if we're going after the church, in the end,
possibly both.
Possibly a little bit of both, right? A little column A, a little column B.
Which that's always the most interesting That's always the most interesting sort of thing where it's like, okay, well, nobody's really a good guy here, right? Like, those are always really interesting conflicts. Do they pull that off? Like, do you feel like that's like they're successful in driving that both ways? So, like, I guess in that sense, do you still have somebody to root for where you're like, or is it just like, oh, well, I just hate everybody now?
Well, I think you obviously root for, you know, through Trevor, right? You root for your Belmont character and the group of misfits that are being formed to support that character, right? But you can easily understand both perspectives of Dracula, why he did what he did, and then you can also potentially understand the perspective of the church and their concern and fears, right, which created the hate and the witchcraft and the burning, right? So but there's not a clear, I mean, you're clearly rooting for Trevor, right? And you see him, you know, enter situations that he's not great in, right? We first are introduced to him in a bar situation where he's drunk and decides to get a bar fight, but they play against that trope of like, oh, he's going to obviously throw off his shackles and beat the heck out of everybody, but in actuality he gets the snot kicked out of him pretty well for a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that did kind of surprise me, but after watching it through the second time, it makes sense because he says multiple times he's out of practice,
mm-hmm.
and he was drunk.
yeah, I mean, there is that, right? Again, you have that reluctant hero and fallen hero in some ways, where he doesn't want to, maybe he doesn't want to do this. Now, obviously, there's a past of why he's so good with his whip and that he's hunted before and the Belmont name, but then he's very, you know. He's trying to protect the seekers at times. He's trying to not hurt everyone. He openly discusses his hatred for religion and the church, right? It's a very interesting kind of story that he's building.
And
kind of backtracking a little bit when you're talking about, you can see, understand Dracula's story and you can understand the church's story and why they're doing what they're doing. It's almost like they could be the anti-hero of their own stories,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
from their own absolutely. Points of view, and both would be right.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I mean, I did find it interesting. I just feel like it was building up to what became very empty in the end of the three have come together, and then that's it. And now you're like, okay, now we wait for 8 more episodes, right, to begin our actual quest. So I feel like I feel like that was a bit of a miss. I don't necessarily know, and I don't know either of you are quite knowledgeable in your Castlevania lore,
not
right,
me.
From the video game perspective. So I can't be like, you know, oh my gosh, it's that character, or yay! I was like, I know they have a whip, I know they hunt Draculas, and I think pretty sure their name is Belmont. That's my lore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I played the original, never got far because it's a hard game. I played second and did finish it. I played the third, which this is based off of, and I did finish it. And in fact, you know, finishing it unlocks the other two characters. And I do remember playing through it as Alucard. I don't remember playing as the sorceress. Mm. And I completely forgot that she was a playable character. So yeah. When she was introduced in the story, I'm like, who is she and why is she? And then I heard other people talking about it, you know, other YouTubers, and I'm like, that makes sense.
Yeah. This feels like very much, and it's interesting, you know, last week or a week ago, you know, when Nintendo, and it's a little bit of a sidestep here, Nintendo talked about wanting to get into more animated series, right? They mentioned Pikmin, Star Fox, Animal Crossing, I believe. And
Yoshi, and I think they may have
talked about. Yoshi, yeah, yeah. They did do this kind of anime clip snippet kind of leading up to Star Fox Zero. Right, mm-hmm. There was an actual direct with a Star Fox anime, and then we got Star Fox.
It was like a 15-minute animation of basically what the first level was.
Yeah, and I very much kind of thought of at times, like as this was playing through, that this very much felt like it could be a very easy transition of like, before you play the next Castlevania game, make sure you watch our animated series.
It's so surprising to me that is not what's happening right now, and maybe that is part of the explanation for why this was so short, where they're literally just like, okay, make four episodes and see if people even care. And then if we'll have another, we'll have a game ready for the next one. You know what I mean?
But who's owning the rights to Castlevania?
Konami still does.
It's still Konami. Right. Yeah.
They've always had it.
Yeah, so it's not Nintendo's pocket. Now Nintendo is now we'll take a sidestep. Well,
we'll get a Castlevania pachinko machine.
Yeah, exactly. We'll take a sidestep here. Nintendo is definitely trying to click in or benefit from this as their in my Nintendo rewards this month are Castlevania Direct are specific to those, right? Mm-hmm. So it does. It kind of feels like as we leave episode 4, it very much feels like you've established your team, and now these are the characters you can choose from on your next playable adventure, right? So it feels a bit odd that way. I would say the last 10 minutes of episode 4 I thought were really quite good. I think the fight scene is really well done and very compelling. You know, easy to get through. I'm curious what the run rate is of like how many people are actually watching it. And we ran a Twitter poll and a lot of people seem very happy with it. I will say
that like when I launched Netflix, it was not something that Netflix was immediately showing to me. Like, yeah. You know, like how with a lot of other stuff, it'll be like, yeah, absolutely. You should be watching this right now. And it was like, I had to search for it.
On day one, I had to search for it, but now it's showing up as recently released.
Yeah.
And I think when we talked about it during the main episode, and someone in the chat said, "I'll watch it when Netflix is on the Switch." Then you might be waiting a while.
I
think season 2 will come out before that happens.
Yeah.
Give them more content when it happens.
Yeah, I definitely think the voice acting is quite good. I think the voice acting is really well done. I think there's good character development. I think the animation style is sharp. I do like it. I know, Zach, you called it out before. Music's quite good. And kind of like any kind of good R-rated horror kind of film, there are times you want to close your eyes and turn away from it, despite the fact it's an animation, right? Mm. So I thought they did quite a good job. Other than, like I said, I think the story lead up to the very end is a drop off and a bit of a lack of a payment there. But
Interesting. Well, I'm gonna go and watch it now. I'll probably watch it and I'll give you my thoughts next episode. It's interesting to me. It's just something that wasn't really. I've never been a huge Castlevania fan, and so that's where I
either have I.
So that's where I think I've kind of fallen off here a little bit. But it's I'm interested to see if you guys both will give it a thumbs up, then I'm definitely interested. So right on.
Yeah, I'd give it like one of these. I'd give it like a not one of these, not one of those, like a quartered. Like
I definitely say thumbs up. I'm an animation fan. I've grown up watching animation and I've never stopped watching animation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and this is, I wouldn't say it's one of my favorites, but it's, and I like it.
Yeah. What I'm hearing you say is satisfactory. Is that a good way? Like it'll do sort of ranking.
I want more.
Or adequate.
Yeah.
I want more.
How would you improve it then? So like, obviously it sounds like it's a prequel almost like a prologue. Is that the big concern with it? Is that by the end of it, it was like, you didn't even do anything. You didn't even like you, all you did was set it up.
Pretty much the goal of this first season is to build your party. Mm-hmm. And now that they have the party, then they're going to do what they do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great way of looking at it. Before you go on your major quest in your game, you've got to build your party. You've got to go find them. You get a little bit of a backstory. You maybe help them out of a situation. That's literally what this is.
Well, going back to my playthrough of Persona 5, that's like the first 20 hours of the game is you building your party. So 20 hours out of a 100-hour game, it's still a small fraction, but it's still a lot of time.
So hopefully the story in this new one is going to be an actual story. Like, again, maybe even the comparison to like the Animatrix is more appropriate than I initially intended, where it was like the thing about the Animatrix was like you were going that to get all of the extended, like, the, you know, like just other little stories outside of the main conflict and the main crux of that whole universe. And, yeah, and like this one is like, yeah, you didn't get the main crux of this yet. Like nothing really substantial has happened yet. And hopefully that's what the next season brings. So, but again, a season of 8 20-minute episodes. Right. And so that's the other thing, is that with these being, it's surprising to me that even though it's an animated show, they're still doing it in these short 20-minute.
But then you've at least got, but I mean, here's the thing that I would think, like season two, you have now got 4 hours of content that you can deliver on, essentially. And you don't need to like get the group together and here's a prologue. It should be like directly into the quest.
Yeah.
Right. You should be, you know, I think if you're looking at it, you know, if you're looking at the traditional acts of a play or acts of a show, your first act is your introduction of the problem, building the problem, trying to build the solution. Middle act is execution of said solution. And the third act is the conclusion, right? Of everything comes to resolve. They have done the great first act. Your second act is now what you're missing. And obviously should include your third act as well. So, yeah, it's interesting for sure. I'm curious. I wonder, one of the things that did make me think of actually last night as I was finishing it was what other shows could, or series could they revitalize? Let's say revitalize. I'm not like they're like, oh, they've revitalized the, you know, Castlevania series, but like what? It made me really go like, I kind of do want to see what a Legend of Zelda animated show from Netflix would be like.
Honestly, right? I know that this is like almost cliche because these two games are almost like always mentioned in the same breath, but I honestly feel like a really cool Metroid anime like this would be awesome, where it's very dark and brooding and, you know, that sort of mature anime sort of look and style, where, you know, it's just got lots of style and attitude and, you know, brooding, angsty, not angst isn't really the right word, but you know what I mean? Like that very self-serious sort of tone would be, I think it would be awesome. I would love that.
They could probably do some of the action scenes in like a 3D game perspective, and then some of the information gathering in the prime first person's perspective, and it would satisfy both audiences.
No, wait. I don't understand. No, my brain. No. Yeah. Like, are you? Yeah. Like, basically, like you, what you want is the anime version of the Doom movie featuring The Rock. Is that?
That's not what I said. I don't think I said that.
Oh, that's exactly what I heard.
That's exactly what I heard. Rock confirmed.
Anyway, backtracking a little bit, talking about the pacing is, and what I'm hoping for in the future is, you know, I agree with Justin. Like the first two were kind of slow. There really wasn't a lot of action. The action did pick up in episode 3, you know, in the catacombs, and again in 4 near the end of the episode. So I'm hoping that level of action kind of is the norm for through each of the episodes in the future.
So were these episodes, and again, this is me having not any idea about having watched them, but is this like, were they the first two episodes, were they, because a lot of horror can be environment, it can be that, or was it like exposition and setting up the world and all of that sort of stuff?
Yeah, you know, every episode had a distinct goal. Like the first episode is, why is Dracula being an asshole? Yep. The second one is,
which is what they should have just titled it.
Gosh, Dracula, right. Why are you being such a prick?
And then the second one is Trevor's background and his introduction and where he's going. The third episode, you meet your forget what they call themselves, the
Seekers.
And then the fourth episode, you get your your third party member.
Your buddy cop movie.
Yeah. Okay. So it is.
I did like the Cyclops fight. That was kind of fun.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
So I don't remember Cyclops ever having Gorgon type powers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That seemed to be new.
By the way, if you ever want to watch, if you've ever seen, if you do like anime, Jesse, have you ever seen the X-Men anime, like the Marvel anime stuff that they did? Did you ever watch any of that?
I think I saw the Wolverine one.
I have the X-Men anime on DVD. It's kind of a similar sort of like that. Oh, wow. That's really loud. It's that very similar sort of art style. There's the kid anime and then there's the adult anime. And the X-Men anime is very much like that, more grit, like detailed, like there's a million veins popping out of this guy's face sort of
style. I don't think I've seen this.
It's pretty cool. Mm. I really like it. Like, and
this
it's
is probably something I would like.
It's pretty. Yeah. Oh yeah. You got homework. Go find this. Cause it's really fun. And Wolverine's claws are like comically long. You know, it's like basically imagine if Sephiroth had Wolverine's claws, you know, like that style of, it's pretty cool. So you should definitely.
Yeah, when they're stored, they like go up to his elbow. Holy crap.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So it's pretty cool.
Is this a traditional 26 episode series?
I don't think it was 26. It was like Marvel did this thing where they, I don't even know if they ever showed them on TV. They were like digitally released. So I think they're more of like a 13 episode season sort of thing. They did an Iron Man one too. They did a bunch of these Marvel ones, but they're based on like, you know, very, very, you know, the X-Men one actually has like this mutant Japanese girl who they go and find, and she's got like this, she's like this new character specifically for the anime, and it's pretty cool.
So it's not Kimiko?
No, it's like a totally invented character for the anime, but it's pretty cool. I really like it.
Because the Wolverine anime I saw was heavily involved around Kimiko in Japan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's kind of where, yeah, there's also an Iron Man anime one where he goes up against like Zodiac or something like that. It's pretty cool too. So, but anyway, yeah, so there's, I mean, and that's kind of a diversion, but it just reminded me of this. So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think for the cast, you know, it's interesting. Obviously, this is not a Nintendo sanctioned Netflix. It's through Konami, right? It's not Nintendo doesn't have anything to do with it. But it'd be interesting to see. I wonder how much Nintendo is paying attention to it, and paying attention to what was produced of it, and maybe wondering, you know, there was obviously a rumor a while ago about being a live action Zelda for Netflix, but I wonder if there's how this might shake out would Nintendo go to Netflix for their Pikmin anime or for their Star Fox anime? Probably not, because they already have a production company that's doing some of that. But it's interesting. Maybe I wonder how much they're watching it. So yeah, like I said, it was interesting. Give it a watch if you haven't.
For sure. And I think having seen. Again, I would love if they gave Metroid this treatment, you know, you could even do a thing where, I have been playing some of the old Metroid, like Metroid Prime 3, and you know, throw in like a bunch of those other characters, you know, like the other hunters that are involved in all those different in those games, flesh out your cast of characters a little bit and really give them that sharp sort of anime look. I think it would be really, really cool. And Metroid is the perfect franchise to do it, because it's a little bit like it's got some following and it's got its fan base, but it's not to the point where it's like, oh man, but we don't want to sully the brand of Metroid by making it too hardcore. Like, no, that's exactly what that fan base wants. Yeah. And so they're the perfect, that's the perfect brand for them to do that. But instead they seem to be more interested in making Splatoon anime and Star Fox. And maybe we'll see them ride a PG-13 sort of line with Star Fox. But even that, I don't think they're going to go full PG-13.
I did see tweets, people talking about the writers or the producers of this Castlevania do want to do a Metroid.
Oh, yes.
And I think I said it when we talked about this, when we did like the Retro Rewind of Super Metroid. But if I would like to see in a Metroid anime more like the early years, like when she growing mm-hmm. up with the Chozo, much like what, you know, what the content of the manga that leads up into the games.
Hmm. Yeah. As long as we get to see like Samus kicking butt in the power armor or whatever, you know, that's what I want. And if we get a little bit of an origin story with that, that's cool. I think the concern is that they get into some of the other M territory, like the weird characterization that game did, where they did not stick the landing on the characterization and fleshing out that, but they could do it. I think that the other M,
yeah, I think
poisoned that well a little bit.
Other M's problem was more of just a localization issue,
I mean it could be a chance for redemption, frankly, if they yeah. pull it off, yeah, for sure. So, well, hey guys, we are 30 minutes into this. Any final thoughts before we wrap this up?
Go watch it if you haven't. Go see it. It's worth it.
Cool. Right on.
Just watch it after the kids are in sleep.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. Right
and,
on.
Again, yeah, and one positive thing of why it being so short is it can be watched in one sitting relatively
yeah.
easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very cool. Right on. Well,
yeah, like Luke Cage and Iron Fist. I was still halfway through those. I never got around to finishing those seasons just because they, you know, 10 to 12 hours of content each. That's a
You don't need to finish Iron Fist. Iron Fist isn't worth finishing. It was not,
really?
It was not good.
I'm on episode 11 and I'm like, I've committed this much.
Oh, it was not good. It was such at a least slog.
I need to watch it before Defenders.
Oh, yeah, it's next month.
Is that next month?
Yeah, August? It's like August 18th.
I'm excited. I'm excited now. I'm excited to have those four fight Sigourney Weaver and Elektra or something. I don't know I don't know what the story is. All I know is Sigourney Weaver's in that. Right on. Well, thanks everybody. I think we probably in the near-ish future we'll probably do a Spider-Man Homecoming After Dark.
I hear that movie sucks.
I hear that you are a fool. All right. Well, with that, everybody, thanks for listening. If you want to follow us, look for Nintendo Dads everywhere. You'll find us. Change the world by giving us a 5-star review on iTunes. And we're still in the last sort of bits of our giveaway. So head over to twitter.com/NintendoDads. Is that a pinned tweet? Do we have that as a pinned tweet? Maybe it is. Maybe
no, but no, we don't.
Okay. Could you do that, Justin? Could you do that for me?
Yeah, I could do that. All right. I could do that.
All right. So go over there and we've got a few days left for our giveaway. So you guys are awesome. And until next time, thanks for listening. Bye-bye.